This morning we have Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7 for our text. Friend Katarina has the reading for us this morning.
Okay. And you he made alive who were dead in trespass and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted yourselves in the lust of your flesh, fulfilling the desert of the flesh and of the mind, and whereby nature children of wrath just as the other. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespass, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly place in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come he may show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Let's pray. And Father, we thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you, Lord, for this gift that you have given to us to help us to know you better, to know ourselves better, to grow, and to be able, Lord, to make your wonderful name known in the world. Thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself to us and teaching us. We pray now that your spirit would be our teacher this morning as we consider this part of the word of God. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. So we have said in the past that the Word of God describes men and women in their natural state, as a kind of walking dead. Apart from a miraculous intervention of God or work of God upon a person, that person, although is a living, breathing creature, is dead. It's spiritually dead, right? Verse 1 says, dead in trespasses and sins. You who were dead. And that deadness is in the sense of lacking supernatural sensitivity to the things of God that can only be imparted by the Spirit of God himself. Okay, but God is a being whose word has the power to impart life. It has the power to impart that spiritual vitality. But the thing is, unless that quickening word comes to a given person, they just remain in ignorance and in darkness. Okay, it's impossible for a person to achieve a communion with the living God by themselves. It's, you know, no matter how religiously minded a person might be, or how many questions he, you know, asks to the stars on a clear night, or how much time he spends in meditation in private and pondering the meaning of existence. Okay, this is another way of saying that God has to reveal himself to us. You can't find him on your own. It's impossible. The message has to somehow come to you, and it has to be accompanied by the assistance of the Holy Spirit to render understanding. For example, you remember the Ethiopian eunuch, right? He's riding along in his chariot. He has the scripture. He's literally reading the book of Isaiah, but he says, how can I understand this unless somebody explains it to me? And so there's Philip. What does he do? He presents the gospel to him, right? He explains it in terms of the gospel. And that gospel is that powerful word of God that gives life, right? When the gospel comes to a person, the word of God comes, right? The gospel is that word. It is the power of God which is able to save. And that's our commission. Hey, that's why we have the purpose of having a church here. It's to present It's to proclaim, to explain, help people know the living God and his son Jesus, right? Because apart from that presentation of light to a man and into his life, into their mind, there's nothing, right? There's lifelessness, even though that person is obviously alive, you know, in the natural sense, okay? So here you see it in verse 1. You were dead, but you walked, right? So that was me, right? The walking dead. And it says, all of us once were among them. That's verse 3, okay? There are three powers that hold a man or a woman in that state of deadness. Three powers or three influences that keep a person from seeing the glorious truth about God and keep them in a state of separation from God, keep them in the darkness. Those three powers are the world, the flesh, and the devil. Okay, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And you see here in verses 2 and 3, Paul points out all three of those when he describes the man who is dead in trespasses and sins, right? What you once were, Paul says. And I think it's important to talk about these three things for a couple of reasons. One is so that we can better understand what our own predicament once was and the nature of the forces that are still arrayed against us, even though now most of us know Christ here. And also, secondly, to understand what are the powers that hold our neighbors currently. What's the situation that they are still in? Because we have to deal with this situation when we go out and meet them and talk to them and present Christ to our community. Okay, how are these men and women being carried through life? What are the currents that move them up and down and back and forth and tossing them this way and that? Okay, the world, the flesh, the devil. Okay, so the first one mentioned is the world. So here's what it says. You were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world. All right, the NIV says, your trespasses and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. Do you remember following the ways of this world? Okay, literally it says, when you followed the age of this world. Okay, this age that we live in. The Germans have a word, the Zeitgeist. Do you ever hear this word, Zeitgeist? It means the spirit of the age, right? The age ghost, you know, the Geist meaning spirit. Okay, we're the products of our time, right? We're the products of our culture, of this century, our nation's history, the education that we got, the social ethical values that predominate today. What's important in life as an American? You know, what ambitions are we supposed to have, and the hopes and the dreams and the fears? And just think about some of the dominant elements that are present in our current time. Things like the environment, right? How much of just our thinking is, you know, oriented that direction? How much do you hear about it? You hear about it all the time. Democracy, evolution, technology. All right, this is our age. These are sort of the big ideas that shape our time. Entertainment, liberty, spirituality, right? Wellness. How much of your life is about wellness now and fitness? Security. Okay, those are the ideas, like the big ideas that shape our course of life, right? They fill our heads, and it's kind of impossible to escape from them. You know, we live in this atmosphere. If I said that you were a child of the 60s, you instantly know what I mean by that. Like, I don't have to describe all of the, you know, the flower people and the music and all of that stuff. You know what that means. If I said that somebody is a millennial, you know what that means too, okay? Because there's a spirit of the age, okay? And so this is what Paul means. You used to walk according to the course of this world. You understand he means the perspective on life, the trends, and the, you know, you're a product of that. You can't help but be that. I'm an earthling, right? I live here, and my habits and my speech patterns and my goals in life are like those of thousands of other earthlings. That's my walk, okay? I walked in that way of life. It's the spirit of the age, or to use the German word, the Zeitgeist, okay? That way of life is characterized by trespasses and sins. Okay, and that means the various failures to conform to the perfection of God. How could you conform to the perfection of God if you're in the darkness, if you're ignorant of God? You know, the world has its priorities and the things that it considers worthwhile. And those priorities are not about the glory of God and the truth of Jesus Christ, are they? Okay, ever since the Tower of Babel, it has been, let's make a name for ourselves, right? Let's make us some gods to go before us, right? Not finding out who the real God is and worshiping him and serving him, but let's make up some gods according to what we can deal with, according to our capacity. So naturally, I mean, it's impossible not to. You trespass against God, which just means to make a false step, you know, to go somewhere you shouldn't have gone. It means to cross over a line, to violate a boundary, right? We commit transgressions and sins. And sins just means to make errors, to miss the mark, fall short. All have sinned, right? And they fall short of the glory of God. And the Bible says that death spreads to all because all sin. Okay, are you immortal? I mean, you don't expect to live and live and live, do you? You're going to die because you've sinned. That's the word of God. We've committed trespasses and sins. You know you're as good as dead and nothing can stop it. And that comes because the wages of sin is death. The course of this world carries every single person headlong toward death, just like water over a waterfall. There's nothing you can do to prevent going over. Okay, we walk in trespasses and sins, and death is at the end for each and every one, because the course of this age is not heading toward the things that lead to eternal life and immortality. You just listen to some politicians or some celebrities or some newscasters just for a few moments, and you see that their plans and their hopes and their desires have nothing to do whatsoever with the glory of God. The God who made the world and all the things in it. Okay, they walk according to the course of the world, and people who follow behind them are walking according to the same course. So he shows us next that that course, that way of the world, this age that we live in, is according to the devil. All right, it's the world, the devil. All right, verse 2 says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's what he calls him, the spirit who is now at work, or who now operates in the sons of disobedience, right? The evil one is the source of all deception and lies. He's the one who, the word of God says, by his lies has put blinders over the eyes of men and women, and that he keeps them from seeing the light of God's glory. Okay, prince means he is the chief of them, right? He is he's the head of these so-called powers of the air. And think about what that sort of signifies to us. It sort of means they are around us, right? They're about us. They're above us, if you like. And they're immaterial. You can't point them out. You can't put your hands on them. You don't even know how many there are. But we live in this world of spirit beings, in a sphere of the spirit. And depending on how you want to look at it, they've been granted an extent of power in the world, or they have usurped the right of God, the rightful place of God in the world. Okay, they hold the power in this world. Okay, now obviously when I say that, I recognize God is supreme. You know, it's not like God has been driven out of the world and he's like banging on the door trying to get back in, can't get back in. I don't mean that Satan is a usurper in that way. But he is called the God of this age, right? The Bible says that the whole world lieth in the evil one, right? It lies under the sway of the evil one. And it's God has withdrawn his perfection from the world, and he has left it to go its own way because man has chosen sin, right? Men love darkness, the Bible says. And so our fellowship with God is broken, or it's forfeited. Right? God does not walk among us as he did in the garden at the beginning, and sin separated us, right? And so Satan, the prince of the power of the air, has intruded. He has invaded and settled himself in, and he has set himself out to maim and to mangle and to spoil and to corrupt and to destroy. Okay, he is called the god of this age, meaning he has might, he has power, he has a grip on the world, and he has filled the world with lies. All false gods are lies. They're lies of the devil. Atheism, right? Godlessness altogether, that is a creation of the devil. Glittering prizes and false hopes and false comforts and false loves and all these false ideologies, anything and everything that leads a man away from God down some path, that's the devil operating in the sons of disobedience. And think about it. What are the sources of envy in the world and conflict and pride and impurity? Where do they come from? Okay, who comes up with these ideas that corrupt the world? I would like to, you know, who would have thought 50 years ago that the world today could have the sexual grossness that it has? Who would have thought who comes up with the kinds of clothes that are considered acceptable today, and even children's clothes, the sorts of things that are on television, and you know, the violence and the blood and the language that's permissible on television, and again, I'd say even children's television. Okay, who comes up with? I wish we could have a time traveler from like 200 years ago come and look at society today and see just what we consider normal. Things we don't even like bat an eye at. He would fall down from shock. It would just be so overwhelming. You don't say anything about this. You're accustomed to this. This is the world, God's world that you live in. Hey, it would be sick to your stomach. I mean, who writes these programs? You know, what black heart comes up with these ideas? It's your enemy, all right? It's the evil one. He seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. And, you know, we walk in the midst of all of this filth. And like I said, we've grown accustomed to it. You know, we just shrug and say, well, what can we do about it? That's the way the world is. Because, you know, it's like a fish swimming in a dirty river. This is the atmosphere we live in. It's Satan who poisons and who pollutes the world. It's Satan who pulls the human race farther and farther down into the sludge. And, you know, we're just at his mercy. And, of course, he has no mercy. Okay, men and women just sort of slop their way through life, and the evil one just has his way through them. Martin Luther wrote in the hymn that we all know that on earth is not his equal, right? That's the truth. You can't stand up against him. You can't break his grip. Only God himself can overpower Satan. I mean, who could find his way out of this sludge to holiness and to eternal life? Who can make what is dirty clean? Okay, Paul says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you used to walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now at work in the sons of disobedience. Okay, the world and the devil, and then thirdly is the flesh. Let's see what it says, verse 3. It says, among whom we also conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, just as the rest of men. Okay, so the world, the devil, and the flesh. The flesh is the Bible's way of, is the Bible's term for man's ordinary nature. Maybe you could say our earthliness, something like that. Sometimes we use the phrase this life, right, as opposed to the next one, or life above, the supernatural, the spirit with a capital S, right? You know, the Bible sets the spirit and the flesh in opposition to it, right? The one struggles against the other. The one has lusts against or desires what's contrary to the other, the spirit against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit, okay? So that you're not able to do what you want, okay? That's what Paul means when he says the flesh. But then there's two times in this verse where the word appears, and you see that the one has a broader sense, and the other is a more specific. So if you'll just look, it says that we conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, and then he subdivides that and says the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Okay, so the two categories, flesh and mind, combine, if you like, to mean this broader sense, the flesh. Okay, so the desires of the flesh, what are those? You know, we're aware of these things. You might call them, you know, our animal nature or something like that. You know, the desires of the body, things like food, sleep, sex, creature comforts, alcohol, those sorts of things, right? The physical desires and wants. Okay, what do you want? I want a sandwich, a massage, and a cigar. What do you want? I want a swimming pool, an umbrella, and a cold drink and a fan. You know what? I feel the need, right? Like Tom Cruise said, I feel the need for speed, right? That's the desire of my flesh. I need the thrills and spills and chills, right? And those are not sometimes those things are not inherent. They're not inherently evil, are they? I mean, food is a good thing. Rest is a good thing. Your body needs them. You have to have them. They're things that God designed for our good. But the desire for them so easily becomes this overpowering demand, right? The Bible says sin which so easily entangles. Yes, it's true. Okay, we start to lust for them. They become idols. They displace God. We have this powerful desire to have them, and they lead to sin. Okay, desires of the flesh, our animal needs, so to speak, our animal wants, and then desires of the mind. There are a little, maybe you could say these are higher desires or higher lusts, but they're still lusts, and that would be things like the need for friendship, the need to feel sophisticated, the desire to outstrip my peers, the desire for mental stimulation. I can't get enough books. I can't get enough experiences. I always need to try some new thing. I got to see. I want to become an expert in classical music, or I want to see another episode of this, or see another movie about that. And, you know, I want to do it all. I want to try everything. And that way, people will look up to me. They'll say, "Oh, you're really a man of this world, aren't you?" And you know, and I like that. It's a desire of my flesh to be well thought of and appreciated and admired and so on. Okay, the mind too has a hunger, just like the body has a hunger. And you say, I love this. I love, you know, I love cars. I love painting. I love jazz or whatever it is. Okay, again, are those things intrinsically ungodly or evil? Not necessarily. But they have a way of becoming a hunger, right? Becoming a lust, a passion that demands fulfillment, okay? And he says, this is how we spent our lives, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. What's your life about? It's all about cars. It's all about baseball. It's all about books, whatever it is, okay? What are we going to do today? We're going to do whatever you want to do. There it is, whatever you want. You have to get the things that you have to do out of the way so that you can get to the important business of doing what you want. I have to do my homework, then I can play my video games, which that's what I really want. I have to put in these extra hours at work so that I can save money so I can blow it all on a big trip to Florida or my wedding or whatever it's going to be. Okay, so I want to fulfill the desires of my flesh and of my mind. Okay, and that's what people think is living. That's what people think life is all about, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. All of that, Paul says, he calls the flesh generally. Okay, and that's ourselves. Is the world to blame? Yes, the world is to blame. The world carries us along and it has a share of the blame. And is the devil to blame? Yes, of course he is. He attacks us, he lies to us, he deceives us, he's to blame. But our own selves bear a share of the blame, a lot of the blame. Okay, it's our carnal self, our flesh. We walk, we conduct ourselves according to the desires of the flesh, the body, and on the mind. Okay, James says each of us is tempted when we're drawn away by our own desires and enticed. They're our own desires. You can't blame them on the world. You can't blame them on the devil. You blame them on you. Okay, we too walked among them, dead in our trespasses and sins. Okay, James says when desire conceives, it brings forth sin. When sin is fully grown, it brings forth death. Okay, dead in our trespasses and sins. Again, what is all the conflict in the world? What is all the trespasses and sins? What is it all but the outworking of man's inner passion? Okay, this group of men, they're just trying to fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That's where jealousy comes from. That's where hatred comes from. That's where pride comes from. It's where fornication and sensuality come from. People trying to fulfill the desires of their flesh and of their mind. Okay? Brothers, where do quarrels come from? James said. They come from your own passions that are at war within you. Your own passions. Okay, you desire this and that. You envy each other. You fight. You quarrel. It's your own spirit, the scripture says, that lusteth to envy. That's James. Okay, Paul says, all of us too walked among them at one time, and because of that, we were children of wrath, like the rest of men. Right? It says in the Bible that because of such things, the wrath of God is going to come upon the sons of disobedience. Okay, look, all that's in the world around you, it's traceable back to this. Men wanting to fulfill the desires of their flesh and of their mind. And so they're pushed and pulled this way and that by the world, the flesh, and the devil. You have to consider yourself. You have to evaluate yourself. How true this is of your own life. How true is it of my own life? It's true. And I'll say it even now, you know, with all of the spiritual help that I have in Jesus Christ, you know, with all the advantages and the knowledge of God and the power that he gives and the strength, I still find it, you know, a constant struggle, a near overwhelming struggle to stand up against the world, the flesh, and the devil, okay? We just sang it in the hymn. I see the sights that dazzle, the tempting sounds I hear. My foes are ever near me, around me and within. Amen to that. Okay, yes, I have enemies on the outside, but there's an enemy within. Oh, Jesus, draw thou nearer and shield my soul from sin. Okay, I told you, take that one home, bookmark it, 676, and read it when you're tempted, because you're going to be tempted a lot. But I thank God that by his grace I am what I am. Okay, and this is the good news. Only God Almighty could have broken into that living death. Only the power of God could have countered the might of the world, the flesh, and the devil and saved me from going headlong over the waterfall, because that's where I was going. I was being carried along, and God did save me. Okay, and we hardly have any idea how impossible it is for us, for, you know, our neighbor, the people we want to go evangelize, we have no idea how impossible it is for them ever to break free of the power of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we have that song, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, it was a mighty love. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary, right? It's by the power of God. It's by grace you have been saved. God saved us, not because of our righteous deeds, but because of his mercy. Okay? You have not at all done this yourself. How could you have done it yourself? How could you ever have broken free of the grip of the world, the flesh, and the devil? You didn't even know you could be free. But God, here it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, God did this. God made us alive together with Christ and raised us up and sat us down in the heavenly places. In the heavenly places. No longer in the world, right? No longer according to the course of the world, but up there in the heavenlies. That's what God has done. And it's by the working of his might through his powerful word that he does this. It's how he has done it for you. It's how he's going to do it for anybody out there. It's his powerful word, his gospel, his voice If you've been saved, it's because his voice has reached your ears through the gospel. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. And even if it never has reached your ears before today, well, then today it has. Okay, the word says, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that's what we've got to tell people out there. You've got to take them the gospel. There's no other way they can ever break out. The power of God has to break into that deadness and darkness and save them. Okay, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved from the world, the flesh, and the devil. All right, let's pray. Our Abba Father, your word is mighty. Your word is mighty. And we thank you, Lord God, for your wonderful grace in Jesus toward us who have heard your call. We have heard the message. We have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive from the dead and lives forever and is coming back to reign. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have given to us so that we can understand your word, so that we can resist the strong temptations of life. We need you every hour, Lord God. We need you. You know the things that assail us. You know our own weakness. You know, Lord, that we are made of dust. Lord, we are creatures of frailty, always ready to give into temptation. And so we need your strength. I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord, that you would strengthen them in the battle. And we sang that we wouldn't fear as long as you're by our side. And so may we not fear the world, the flesh, or the devil. And Lord, for any in our midst this morning who have not received your salvation, not received your Holy Spirit, for them we pray, Lord, that they would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We know, Father, that you're ready and willing and able to save any who call upon you in sincerity. And we pray for our neighborhoods here, Lord, and prepare us with the right message, prepare their hearts to receive it. And we ask you, Lord God, for wisdom and power. Lord, it's not in our own power that we go. We must go in your power. But I thank you, Father, for the everlasting power that you have given us in the gospel. May we live in its strength and its peace day to day through the week ahead. And it's in the name of Jesus we ask it. Amen.